just to follow up on your question, since I've been peripherally involved in it, there's never been an issue, never really been a concern, and the decisions that have been made and gone through their advisory boards have always been positive. So this isn't a situation where they've abused their rights in the past, and there's some reason for us to be skeptical of their ability.
Why don't you say what you said to me?
So well, I don't know. Maybe we should have a test vote on the original motion, but I am gleaning a little bit of a sense from the committee, and maybe I'm reading the committee wrong, but my feeling is that without approval of these respective bodies, the emergency board or the Ways and Means Committee, I feel a reluctance from this committee to support the bill. As I stated earlier, that was a concern first voiced by Vice Chair Jones, and I am willing to add that to the bill in the form of a friendly amendment. Now, I guess I'm trying to get a feel from the committee. Maybe the committee can consult me in public and in front of God and everybody, so that I can get a feeling. There's no sense in going through the hoops here and
well, would you accept a friendly amendment on your motion?
Absolutely.
I would like to
now
amend
you're going to make a motion to
absolutely
amend.
To change the consulting to approval.
Fine.
And the concern I have is I'm not sure that it's in the statute. We may have a problem. It's not.
Okay, you're talking about right now.
It's not on here, see.
No, we're with the fifth here.
Mr. Maryland, can you tell me the exact site where that language, the consultation language is?
We're looking.
Oh, thank you.
While they're looking, Mr. Chair, let me say I'd be prepared to support the Vice Chair's amendment, and then I think that would remove most of my concerns about the bill if we're looking for some expression of sentiment.
Okay, my problem is I don't want to cut down on the agency's ability to move, but I get a very strong feeling from this committee that we're going to have trouble with this bill unless we do put the amendment on.
Let's ask for a test vote.
Representative Joel.
That's my sense also. Obviously, we are a small segment of what we face on the floor. And
not counting the Senate.
Not counting the Senate. I wasn't going to say that, but since you did, I'll agree. And I think very seriously, first of all, I have no question in my mind that Ms. Houston and General Services has done a fine job. And I could have supported this bill either way and come back in 87 or whatever if there was a problem. But my sense is that we're going to meet the same kind of concern and problem, and possibly lose this bill on the floor of the House if we don't accept this amendment and pass it with
us. Mr.
Chairman. Representative Bunn.
Well, I don't know when our test vote comes, but I might as well state my view. I favor the bill in its original form. I think we set policy, and once we set policy, the state agencies should execute. We should give them the freedom to execute effectively. And if they abuse, we should come back and correct.
I think, yes. Representative McCarty.
I concur wholeheartedly with what he just said. I can't see why making a process extra burdensome is going to help anything.
Okay, we're going to cut this discussion up pretty soon because we've got a motion before us. Anyone else? Okay, Representative Pearson.
Yeah, just briefly, the other side of that is if indeed the history of this agency has been that good and they have basically gained approval, then it should be no added problem if indeed that's the way it's always worked anyway.
Okay, they have, in my opinion, and this is subjective, but in my opinion, they've got a good track record. There was a motion to pass House Bill 2058 to the floor. The maker of the motion has accepted a friendly amendment stating that the agency will get concurrence, would you say?
Approval
from the legislative, proper legislative board such as the E-Board. Are you
we were looking for where the language is currently, and evidently you're having some difficulty determining where that is, so we would be able to change the word from consultation to approval.
Okay, from consultation to approval. I don't think we have to, we know what we're going to do with the bill without having to find that language. Call roll.
Yeah, this is on the amendment.
On the amendment.
This is on the amendment. Yes, this is on the amendment.
Springer?
Aye.
Phillips?
No.
Jolin?
Aye.
Miller? Jones?
Aye.
McCarty?
No.
Fenn?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
No. What do we got? Close.
What?
It failed?
4-5. Or 4-4, excuse me, split.
It failed to gain a majority. We have a motion before us now to send House Bill 2158 to the floor with a due pass. Call roll.
Phillips?
Aye.
Jolin?
Aye.
Jones?
No.
McCarty?
Aye.
Fenn?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Springer?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. 5-3.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Jolin.
I'd like to change my vote to no and serve notice of possible reconsideration.
Okay. We've got a 4-4 vote on this bill. It needs 5 to go to the floor. The bill has failed. You want to the privilege of recalling this bill at a later time? Is
yes.
that what you're saying?
Yes, indeed.
So then what we are doing now, I would like to take a motion then to table this bill until later. You make that move. Representative Jolin moves to table House Bill 2158 to have it be brought off the table at a later date for reconsideration. Any discussion? Is there any opposition to that motion? So be it. House Bill 2155, we are in hearing.
If there were any problems along the line, I can't have negotiations there to find it good for you. It's like, you know, negotiations.
Sure. I guess the point of view on how much money is, they seem to be doing this well.
This is working.
And there hasn't been a problem in the past, so they won't have a problem if you have a program.
Well, first of all, you're not going to have a state agency.
Okay, will the committee administrator give us a rundown on House Bill 2155?
House Bill 2155, again, we heard on Monday, it is another General Services Department bill. It would allow General Services to make purchase agreements for real property contingent upon legislative approval, whether that's e-board or ways and means, whatever is appropriate. I think Ms. Houston referred to it earlier relative to earnest money agreements and giving the department what they feel is needed flexibility to put together a deal that they feel is valuable and get as much as they can and then bring it to the legislature for consideration. They're here again for questions.
While we are in hearing it, will there be any questions to anyone? I know there will be. Uh-huh. Send somebody up, Jane. Are you first on the list?
Sure, I'll be first.
Representative Delma Jones will ask the first question.
This is not an adversary role, Jane. I.
Yes, it is, Jane. She's trying to make it feel good.
In this legislation, you currently are required to get approval.
I am Jade Houston, Director of Department of General Service, and I am confused too. I believe that this refers back to our other statute, and we would follow the same procedure that we that is outlined in 2291.371. And now I'm wondering if that is our Public Lands Advisory Board. Plus coming to the legislative body for consultation. Again, and perhaps this isn't the appropriate time, but I do find that the Public Lands Advisory Board acts in some ways like a subcommittee of a legislative body, in that we do have two persons from the legislature who then are our transition people, and as I won't protest too much, I have used this procedure enough, but I find that it's working very satisfactorily. This seems to simply mean that we could work out the entire transaction and sign it and even perhaps put earnest money on it, subject to going through the process which we need to go through. I don't believe that this changes the procedure, however, that we are required to do.
I think she's what she said.
You don't need to explain to me what she said.
She said when they make a deal that they can't refuse, they want to take a chance of getting it.
Let me be the one to ask the question.
Thank you, Representative Roberts.
if I can further get a clarification. Let me just ask very simply, do you now, and I need to read the statutes, obviously, because I'm not sure that I am clear. You're getting currently approval from the advisory board, or you're getting, or you just get consultation from an advisory board?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, may I clarify with some help from my staff? This. We're talking about a purchase and the expenditure of money. And so this would have to have approval of the legislature for a purchase and spending money. It has to have ways and means approval. The selling of property is the portion that requires consultation. Approval comes with spending money.
Difference between revenue and wage,
Nate. Right. I got it. One in, one out. I know. Okay. All this really does, in terms of what you're trying to accomplish here, then, is give you the opportunity of the installment purchase instead of just in an option. You can go ahead and take the deal further down the road with that still that contingency on it. And I understand that. I don't have any problem with that.
It's a kind of a promise. If you get the approval, you will make the
right.
I have a real estate license. I know exactly what they go through.
Then why are you asking so many questions?
Maybe that's why I ask so many questions.
Is there any further discussion? If not, we're out of hearing and work session on House Bill 2155. Do I hear a motion on House Bill 2155?
Somebody's trying to talk to you.
Oh, Representative Phillips.
Well, I would like to take the pressure off.
I'll make the motion to refer the floor to pass. Representative Phillips moves House Bill 2155 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any opposition to the motion? Representative
Not Phillips? Opposition, but could I ask a question? It's a little late, but I need to ask it anyway. Obviously, this bill allows the department to put earnest money down. If the decision is made later by the E-Board of the legislature not to approve of that particular purchase, then what are we talking about in terms of earnest money lost? Are we talking about future?
There is no loss. The contingency is on the fact that it's approval.
Fine.
That's right. You're right, Representative Roberts.
And I'm not a real estate person either. If there's no opposition, then House Bill 2155 is passed to the floor with a due pass, and Representative McCarty will carry it.
Just be glad McCarty wasn't in Peterson's position.
I thought I was going to carry the tax.
We'll give you that one, too.
Oh, okay. Okay, then we, the last one is the little one, 2152.
There are no little ones.
We're opening the hearing on House Bill 2152. Gary Reid?
Yes, sir.
You're signed up.
Mr. Chairman, could I inquire? I have a copy of 2152 that has a number of amendments. We're working at this point. Are we following the non-amended bill? Or the
no, we are going to discuss the amended bill. If I thank you for... actually, what we're going to do is... I would hope that, Mr. Reid, are you going to address any of the amendments, Mr. Reid? Are you just going to address the general need for 2152?
I had previously passed out some testimony. You had made some inquiries about the program that SAFE is providing to the state agencies.
Okay, this gentleman was asked to appear in order to fill in how this deals with his agency. Representative Springer, I'm going to ask him to describe and help us to understand the proposed amendments.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute, Dick. Do you want him to give his shot first and then you come up, or do you want to go with the amendments?
The amendments deal with more than just SAFE Corporation. They deal with some other subjects. If we want to focus on SAFE Corporation, and if Mr. Rada understands the kind of questions I was asking on Monday, that's fine. We can go ahead and deal with that first.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Bunn.
One concern I have is that I don't want to end up dealing with amendments piecemeal through the back door. I mean, what I prefer is that as we deal with amendments, we have a comprehensive view of why they were proposed.
You want to be walked through on the amendments?
At some point before we start dealing with them, I'd like to have a comprehensive review of them if we could.
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me whether it comes before or after this testimony.
Okay, then why don't we let Mr. Reid go on, and then we'll get into the amendments. Representative Springer has done a great deal of work, and I appreciate it greatly, because it's not only the question of how it relates to SAFE, but some other things. Mr. Reid.
Good morning. I'm Gary Reid, president of the SAFE Corporation, and my last name is pronounced and spelled just like the famous fly spray that kills them dead. And I happen to be the large economy size. At your Monday hearing, you requested that we provide a brief overview of the insurance program provided to state agencies as background for your analysis of House Bill 2152. SAFE Corporation and its predecessor, the State Industrial Accident Commission, has continuously provided workers' compensation insurance for state agencies since 1914. This program for state agencies was similar to that provided to other customers until July 1st, 1976. And at that time, the Executive Department of the State of Oregon requested the simplified rating system be implemented. So at their request, the current plan was formulated. It provides a single net rate, which is used by each state agency to compute premiums. All of the traditional pricing adjustments were built into net rates, thereby eliminating the need for experience rating modifications, discount, and dividends. The state's budgeting and accounting processes were simplified, and the true cost became more visible. And we attached a copy of the rating history for your perusal. The net rates are filed with the National Council on Compensation Insurance and with the Oregon Insurance Department. Each year, SAFE negotiates with the Executive Department and files adjusted rates to be effective each July 1st. Current negotiations includes the possibility of a two-year rating system to assist the Executive Department with budgeting process. Within the past year or so, the Department of General Services has begun participating in these negotiations. That's a brief summary of the plan's background and features. In terms of servicing, the various agencies. Each of SAFE's six branch offices is now responsible for developing and providing a service package for each agency and their workers in their particular geographical area. This alignment of services was achieved when we reorganized the company approximately 6 months ago. 10 of these changes is to put our people closer to our customers and structure work so they could do a better job for them. Just as we believe these changes will improve services to private sector employees and their workers, we believe it'll be a long way, it'll go a long ways to do exactly the same thing for each of the state agencies. Within each branch office, we have established full-service teams who are to be responsive to a particular book of business and see that the customer is truly being served. Within each service team, we have insurance consultants, which are part of the marketing division. We have underwriters and loss control people and premium audit people from the underwriting division. From the claims division, we have claims examiners and vocational coordinators, and from the legal department, attorneys. So we provide full services where the customer is at, and we hopefully are being responsive to the needs and desires of both the Oregon employer and their workers. In addition to that, since we are dealing with a statewide organization, we have established an overall state agency coordinator. We believe it's important that there be someone to ensure that there is a consistency within our overall programs and ensuring that we are being responsive to the desires of the customer and that nothing is falling through the crack. So we have established an overall state agency coordinator here in Salem. Now, I'll be happy to respond to any other questions or concerns.
Well, let me break the ice. Are you familiar with House Bill 2152?
Yes.
Are you familiar with House Bill 2152, Hannah Gross?
And it's what?
I'm sorry. It's been amended. We call it Hannah Gross when it's not been formally printed, and we've made the notations in
Hannah. I'm familiar with the amendment
of the
one and of amendment number two as submitted by the General Services Department.
You are familiar with it?
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me, may I say something? General Services provided an amendment three as well. And what the bill that the chair is referring to has also handwritten into it as a proposal, Representative Springer's amendments. We have extra copies of that. I believe Steve has seen them. Maybe not. That's so he's referring, I believe, to all of them.
I want to make certain that you understand what we're about to get into, and if you can answer any questions if we get into any problems.
Well, I am only familiar with Amendment 1 and Amendment 2 as submitted by the General Service Department. I'm not familiar with the amendments submitted by Representative Springer.
No, that's fine. Okay. I agree with Representative Fund that we're going to have a walkthrough on these amendments. You've all got Hannah Gross copies of 2152. If you just sit there while we go through this, and when it comes to your time maybe support Representative Springer so that we can have a better understanding.
You want me here or out there?
No, I want you right there.
Across the street.
you're not going to get out of this.
No.
Representative Springer, would you please start leading us through this?
Okay, I've got four, I guess, concerns that I raised in the testimony on Monday and for which I asked some amendments to be prepared. The first has to do with how SAFE is affected by this. And I think some of the amendments that I have not prepared but have been prepared apparently by General Services and reviewed by Mr. Raid deal with some of the questions I had about in terms of SAFE status. Now, that's not to say I don't have some more questions from Mr. Raid when we get to that point, but the additional amendments that I proposed were in response to questions with and some answers with Mr. Nestle from the Department of Justice, and it regarded the Pink case and cases like that where General Services Administration and apparently the Department of Justice have kind of on an ad hoc basis tried to determine when the General Services Administration is responsible for legal fees or where the particular agency is going to be responsible for paying the legal fees. And I had a question and answer with Mr. Nestle, and I asked, where is this written down or where is this stated in policy as to what the coverage is or is not? And it was my understanding from his comments that it really wasn't written down anywhere, or there might be some ambiguity And it was also my understanding, he suggested that the further clarification in the statute was appropriate, but apparently that clarification was not yet drafted or being provided to us by Department of Justice. So my review with the Ms. Buffet at Legislative Council was to make a clear policy statement that when an agency is sued for any reason as a defendant under state or federal law, tort claim, what have you, then General Services has responsibility for providing for the legal cost of that defense, flat out.
Dick, could I ask a question
yeah.
on that? Does that mean then that the that General Services would have policy-making ability in terms of what, if any, outside law firm would be selected as opposed to the Attorney General's office having that policy decision?
I don't reach that issue in my amendment, and I'm of an open mind as to whether or not the agency ought to be able to say whether or not they want to hire an outside law firm. I'm not familiar enough with the Penn case to know if the Department of Higher Education was ever consulted by their attorney on that issue, or whether that's a determination that General Services makes, or whether it would be strictly the judgment of the Attorney General. And that's an additional policy issue which may need further clarification, and I'm of an open mind on that, Representative.
I'm just trying to understand specifically from your explanation what the change on line 13 of page 1 actually does.
At this point, again, the Penk case may be the one we're all aware of. And that case apparently, I'm not familiar with all the details of the litigation, was brought under Title VII. And it was apparently the interpretation of General Services and the Attorney General's office, and I'm subject to a correction or additional information from those agencies, which I think are both represented here. It was a decision reached not based upon an interpretation of statute where there is some ambiguity or lack of clarity, that those legal costs were going to be assessed directly against the agency or the Department of Education and not absorbed as the cost of defense from the General Services Fund. And that's a policy issue which I think this amendment tries to address, and suggests that that interpretation be changed so that in future proceedings against any state agency in which the Department of Justice is called upon to defend, General Services pays the cost from their fund based upon assessments against the several agencies, so no one agency or department is going to be put in the same position as the Department of Higher Education with a huge $2 million plus legal bill. And that's the policy that I'm suggesting is appropriate. Now, people may disagree with that, but that's the policy I'm suggesting is appropriate.
Further question.
Representative Bunn.
Isn't the effect, and I'm trying to really get a handle on the wording, isn't the effect or one interpretation of the effect of that actual language that the legal costs that the Attorney General would assess against the state agency would now be paid by General Services rather than that state agency?
And that's my understanding is how it is done now in most instances.
Maybe I need to understand better how the system works at this point in terms of if an agency is billed for work done by the Attorney General, how that's actually handled mechanically. Is there someone that could explain that?
Can you answer that? Okay. Do we have...
Mr. Red, you're on the hot seat for a minute.
Who is going to come up and... Are you the gentleman? I don't care if you all come up. We need somebody.
This will be helpful to me, Representative Bunn, because it's not really clear to me what's going on now.
It's going to be helpful to the whole committee, because this gets a little sticky.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Gene Snyder. I'm the risk manager in the Department of General Services. This issue that Representative Springer has raised is one that I think I can address. Under the existing law, if the Department of General Services provides coverage as required under the Tort Claims Act, we are also required to pay the legal expenses connected with that case.
Yeah, already in law.
That's right. It's already in law. As a matter of fact, it's in this bill. I can refer. It's on page 7, line 38 to 41, when we are assigned a case under the Tort Claims Act, the Attorney General provides the legal defense for handling that litigation. The wording in those last four lines requires the department to pay the Attorney General for their expenses and any expenses outside counsel they secure in defense of that case. The custom that we have been following, if General Services provides coverage, we will also provide coverage for the defense costs or any other costs connected with the coverage we're providing. The issue of the Penk case is the issue of whether the Tort Claims Act in itself, under Chapter 30, defines Title VII or implies Title VII coverage. It's specific right now in stating that a tort is a violation of 42-1983, which is federal statute. But it's not specific in that it covers a Title VII action. That is the issue. There is a request in for an Attorney General's opinion on this issue, and certainly if it's in the affirmative, we would be called upon under this authority I cited in Chapter 278 to pay those costs. So.
Okay. Now, you're on, let me get this clear here.